there's some words just work in Northern. Super duper pooper scooper. And there's, but it's more of a Geordie thing that, like, if I say super duper pooper scooper, it doesn't really work.
No.
And the Geordie's like, Fostaz. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus Christ, I need a Fostaz.
It sounds Chinese. Japanese.
Welcome along to Season 2, Episode 12 of 30-something Gamers. We're getting up there in rarefied air. The gaming podcast that is in the top 1% of gaming. No, not gaming. All podcasts in the world by sheer brute force stubbornness. We're not good. We just keep making them. We don't care you're not listening. We don't care. This is for us. Hello, Boxy.
We're failing upwards.
Yeah, that's what we do. I'm glad you're getting on board with the failing upwards, because in a little bit, I'm going to have to talk about how I failed to fail upwards.
So, double the failure.
A double failure. It hurt. It
story hurt. Of your life.
But before we get on to that, I've got a little present for you, Boxy.
Oh, dear. What?
A couple of episodes ago, you asked me to write a review plea like the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket.
Oh yeah, tear your head off and shit down your neck style.
Yeah, so I've wrote one just for you.
Wonderful. Now, is it crude and violent and horrible?
All the things you like.
Wonderful.
Right, so let me get it, because I don't know. Right, I'm going to move the mic away a little bit because I obviously have to shout. I'll try and affect. I'm going to write down when I'm what time in the podcast I'm doing this. Because I'm going to have to change the levels because I don't want to burst everyone's eardrums. Because I'm a pretty loud guy.
Thank you for having that foresight, because there's one episode which I was listening to the other day.
You listen to your own podcast?
Ugh, I was just listening to one of them because it was about Silent Hill and I just wanted to listen to it to see what we were talking about. And it
could be any episode.
We were making fun about the fact that it's called, might be called Silent Hill Forte, the new one.
Yeah.
And you bellowed Silent Hill so loud that literally I had to take my earphones out and just be like, for fuck's sake, God, why was that so loud?
Because Forte means loud and you're a musician, you're a drummer. Forte means loud.
Oh, fucking hysterical.
I'll have you know I've got grade 1 piano and grade 1 theory in music, so I know what forte means.
Yeah, I've had that banter, or whatever you want to call it, ever since I've fucking started playing.
It's not banter, mate. You're not a musician. It's fact.
Marvellous banter. I'm bereft of ribs. Move on.
Anyway, yeah, so I'm more thinking of the audience than you. Are you ready? What's his name?
I know the actor, Ali Ernie.
Because he, in Full Metal Jacket, that was his first time in a movie. And he wasn't an actor, he was an actual drill sergeant. And he made a career from that role, didn't he? I think he's in quite a few films doing his shoutiness. Are we ready? I'm looking forward to this one. I really don't want to trip over my words. But I'm not going to edit it. If I trip over my words, I trip over my words. You ready?
Yep.
Well, holy... Oh, no.
That's way too loud already. Back up.
Right. You ready?
Yeah.
Well, holy hell, look what we got here. A goddamn clown brigade of brain-dead, thumb-twiddling, mouth-breathing, backlog-hoarding, never-left-the-tutorial-level little pixel bitches. I got the question for you, you sad stack of seal files. Where the fuck is your review for 30-something gamers? You listen every week, you laugh, you saggy little balls off while these grown-ass man-children argue about whether the Dreamcast was ahead of its time. But you can't take 60 goddamn seconds to leave a review. What the fuck is wrong with you? You useless, indecisive, possibly inbred loot box junkies wouldn't know a 5-star podcast if it jumped out of the goddamn CDR and beat you with a Juke controller. This podcast is the only thing keeping your sad existence from collapsing into a puddle of nostalgia, asshole tears, and poor life decisions. And the least you can do is open your grubby little app, type some words, and slam that 5-star review like it owes you money. If you'd only review, I swear to the holy trinity of Miyamoto, Kojima, and Todd, it just works, Howard! I will personally come to your house, delete your cloud saves, rearrange your game shelf by console generation, and piss in your collector's edition steelbook! You will review! You will subscribe! You will share this podcast like it's the last working copy of Silent Hill! Because 30-something gamers ain't just a podcast, it's a full-blown, balls-out, RAM-melting, friendship-ruining, retro-fueled experience. And if you don't like that, you can plug your controller into port 2 and go fuck yourself sideways with a multi-tap. Now move, maggot! Or so help me, I'll make you replay Sonic 06 until you appreciate what real games are.
So what do you
think? Yes, sir.
So what do you think of that one?
Very good. That's probably my favourite one. Very rhythmic. Very...
No, you just like the swear and the belittling of the audience. That's why it's your favourite.
Yeah, but it had a nice flow to it. There was a nice narrative. A couple of things. Yep. I like that Bumhole Tears is catching on.
I'll put that one in, especially for you. If it comes to something, when I put the phrase Bumhole Asshole Tears into a monologue just for you.
Yeah, you're speaking to me, private, private box.
Private box.
And what else? Yeah, I like the stuttering in the middle. You were doing so well.
Yeah, you had to lean towards your mic to laugh at me as well. I watched you. You had to make sure the audience heard you laugh at me. Thank you for that.
And you're doing well. Your breath control was very, very good for most of that, except that little stammer there. But no, that was good. That was powerful.
When you've had the life I have, you learn to breathe out your nose. Oh.
Okay. Going off our track record, where this audience does like to be insulted, I can see the reviews piling in.
Yeah.
Like Private Pile.
Ah, a good segue. I like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my throat is hurting a little bit now. Let me lubricate myself 2 seconds. Water-based.
Are you actually drinking Dr. Pepper at...
No,
well, I suppose it is the afternoon.
Full-fat Coca-Cola.
Mm. Not the the dieting Coke with artificial sweetener type. You're the full-fat bodied.
Yeah. It's just because they didn't have like non-sugar one. And to be fair, like I mentioned off the podcast, I am very tired because I was pissing like an old man all night and I needed some caffeine and sugar to deal with you.
Did you ever do that thing when you were young where you'd dream about going to the toilet and then you'd piss the bed?
I dreamt that I was eating a cloud once, and when I woke up, my pillow was gone.
Hey!
I put that in because I've got a friend who really listens to our podcast. Really, as if like some people, I listen to it all the time. I don't know what the fuck it is. And he uses that joke all the time because he's the king of dad jokes. In his house, right... He was the first one to sort of really get a house on his own, and we'd always go round. And next to his chair, he had loads of props that he would get out just to randomly see. Like, he wasn't Carrot Top, but he'd have like a little toy trumpet. So you'd just be talking, and he went, "Oh, well, I don't like to blow my own trumpet." And then he'd get out his trumpet and blow his own trumpet. It's hilarious. My life's hilarious. Don't look at me like that. Do you have any friends who are good at prop comedy?
I haven't got any friends. Do you know the comedian Anthony Jeselnik?
Honestly, Jeselnik?
Anthony Jeselnik.
Jizzy neck.
Okay, you've clearly never heard of him, so never mind. But he's got a joke where he says, I had a dream that I was eating a big pillow, and when I woke up, I realised that I'd actually just crashed my car into a soft play.
That's my type of humour. I'll have to look at it. How do you spell it? Jizzonneck.
It's J-E... Just type in Anthony J and it will come up.
Anthony
J. He's really famous in America.
I can see how you found him when you were looking for online, searching Jizzonneck. Oh, what's this? Watch this. I can't get on that site anymore. I need to verify my age. I ain't doing that. Let's just watch some comedy instead. Maybe he mentions jizz. I love fluids. That's
right,
you, by the way. I was being you.
On less about your fluids, what have you been playing?
So, I've been playing... Well, I've got my failure to fail upwards. But the first game I'm going to mention for that is... I have played Deadly Premonition.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I streamed it last Sunday, and I always plan to do it because I don't think I'm going to go through the whole game on stream, but I thought it's one of those games. It's so bad, it's good. I ordered it, and I didn't think it was going to come on time, and it came on the morning. I thought that's a sign, so I put 4 hours or so into it.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun with it, loads of fun. It is shit. Right. Yeah. This is for some reason all the my auto right. Is this what's supposed to happen? My auto aim always aims for the penis or the vagina.
Ooh, there could be some hidden.
Like hidden when I press auto aim, it goes straight for the crotch. It never goes for the head, and I'm using the other thumbstick to try and move up to see if it's like. But it just won't. I don't know. Maybe that's just my the Xbox 360 knows my preferences. It goes straight for the dick. This is every time I was killing the enemy, after the died, this little one line comes out of like, I don't want to die, or something like that, and it got me laughing. I'd heard it like 17 times, and I was still laughing every time it went off. I was running around a police station looking for a squirrel key ring for so long, and I was getting so annoyed at this guy, and he was called Tom, so that annoyed us. And then I bumped into the police chief.
Welcome to my world.
I bumped into the police chief, who just randomly started doing squats in front of us and then doing dumbbell curls. I'm like, what is going on? But I did really enjoy it, and my community enjoyed it as well, so we're gonna stream it again. I need to finish Broken Sword on stream, and I'll do another stream of that before I get on my next big game. So yeah, it was really fun. It's a difference of, I won't go back to Right Ahead Retribution. It's a bad game, but I hated it. I didn't have any fun with it. Deadly Premonition.
You didn't have fun with Right Ahead Retribution?
No, I could laugh at it, but Right Ahead Retribution, I got like a warehouse thing. I was trying to get through kill, and it was like bad guys through warehouses next room. And the controls and that were just so bad. I was like, this is just arduous. It's bad, but Deadly Premonition, I kept going on, but it was funny how bad it was.
It's I think the guy who made it, he's called Swery. He's either a genius,
his name's or Robert, he's
clearly quite unwell.
Well, I got the hospital, and then the guy was like, "Oh, so you go? There's a murderer on the loose, and then you go to this room to find, like, you go to the morgue to find out what the the post mortem is or whatever." And the doctor's not in his room, and he's left you a challenge on his PC in order to find him and to get the key card. I'm like, there's a murderer on the loose? Just let us in. And then they try to put across that this guy's really smart. And the clue is you just put the pieces in order that they're there. It's like not a hard one, and they go on like it's the hardest puzzle ever. Because at first I was like, is it just them in the... Because there's like... Do you know in Silent Hill and stuff where there's a little rhyme or something to go along with it, and it's like, oh, the darkness of the sky, and you got to try and work out what colour's what and things like that. It's like it's doing that, but it's just like the rook takes the king moves to take the queen, and you just put them in order, and I'm like, what is this? And then he does a boss-ass moment when you leave the post-mortem, because you finally eventually find him, and he just goes... Rook to B4, queen takes blah, 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 checkmate, and then walks out. And the guy does his best, like, triple take and looks at his computer that's got a chess game on it, and he goes, this guy's a genius. it's just so good. And he keeps talking to this guy called Zach, and I don't know who the fuck Zach is, so I want to find out who Zach is.
It's in his coffee, isn't it? He looks in his coffee, and it keeps telling him
yes,
stuff that's
happening. Yeah. Is that the premonition, his coffee? Because he says, oh, did you look in your coffee? And he's like, oh, did you see? I thought it was going to, like, literally make a word or a picture. And it didn't do anything. And he's like, did you see that? I'm like, this guy is mental. And then, because the first hotel scene you go to, you come down, there's no one else in the hotel. And honestly, there is the longest table that no one to man in this breakfast bar. And you're sort of sat at one end. And at the other end is the owner of the hotel, who is an old woman who can't hear. So you're having a conversation, and it reminded me of being my nana and granddad used to have two different conversations across the living room, and I was just laughing my ass off at it. And it also reminded us one time when my nana was poorly, she went to hospital, and I went to visit her after, I think it was sixth form or something like that, and I went straight to hospital, and I was the only one there at the time, and I sat and I talked to my nana for about half an hour, just chatting on and blah, 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 blah. And she wasn't really talking much to us. And I was like, all right, she must be really unwell because my nana likes a good chin wag and stuff. Talked half an hour. Half an hour later, my uncle walks in, comes in and goes, oh, yeah, ma'am. Turns her hearing aid on.
All right.
And she'd literally sat for half an hour thinking, I'm not turning my hearing aid on for this dickhead. So just I just sat talking to myself for half an hour. So anyway, so we will be playing that again. It's a really good fun. But have you got your Kleenex ready?
Why, am I going to jizz everywhere?
Well, that or cry. Probably jizz, knowing you. So, I talked a couple of episodes ago about doing a 12-hour Batman stream and being the slowest in the world of Batman. Well, I jumped that up because I just had a random ADHD thought, and I pressed yes on the button in my head, and I bought a rubber Batman mask.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah. And I decided for the full 12 hours, I was going to wear this rubber mask in a room of ridiculous heat and also play the character of like an asshole Batman for 12 hours with a voice as well. Where is she? And everyone in the community was obviously like, rubber mask, maybe. There's no way you're talking like that for 12 hours. And I thought, probably right. I don't know where I'll get it. My throat's probably going to be killing.
Mm-hmm.
So Arkham Asylum, I'm not going to go over it. Everyone knows it's a great game. It was so easy to go back to without looking at guides or anything like that and just play through. It's one of those that's designed well, so you know what to do next. The combat, it's just so easy to slip back into that rhythmic combat and so you can play it and not really think and still chat on and still be entertaining, or try at least. And I thought, my throat's going to hurt. I'm going to do an hour, if that. 6.5 hours later, I am still the Dark Knight. I am the Knight. I am the Knight! My throat's fine. I'm thinking, I can do this. My internet and streaming software shit the bed. This is 2:30 in the morning. Because I was going to do 7 at night till 7 in the morning. My main time for streaming is like 8 till like midnight-ish, and that's when my community, so I thought, I'll do that, they'll all go to bed, I might grab some new followers from other countries and stuff, then they'll wake up in the morning and be like, shit, he's still there, and catch us before they go to work and stuff like that. Christ, I was so annoyed. I just got 6.5 hours in, I'd kept the voice on. The next day, my voice wasn't even hurting. I think I could have went the full amount. And the reason it stopped, because it did come on eventually 5 minutes later, is obviously I was trying to be the slowest in the world. So as soon as the stream ends and the recording ends, I can't submit it. Because obviously if you're doing speedruns, you can't stop. Obviously speedruns are normally 2 hours, not 12.
Yeah.
But you can't cut the recording because obviously anything could be happening in that time to help you get faster and stuff. So as soon as it went off and I saw it go off on all three platforms, because even if I thought, I've got no way to prove this is one run, and I was just there in a soggy soggy rubber mask at 2:30 in the morning, just like, what has my life become?
how did we get here?
But I've got a quite positive view on it. I'm like, oh, well, means we can do it again. We're going to have a redemption arc. I can make some content and stuff from it. So I'm all good. We will get there. I will get the Batman slowest time. I was on course for slowest time because the slowest at the minute is 3 hours and I was on 6.
Well, yeah, I suppose you have to finish the game, don't you?
Yeah. You know, I can't submit it. I was at Killer Croc. I don't know how long's left after that. Under the
sewers.
You're
near the end.
Yeah. Oh, well, I might have done less than 12.
You're quite near the end there.
Oh, there you go. I'm just, see, I'm faster than I think.
Yeah. So why did everything pack in then? The power cut?
I know. I think the Wi-Fi, sometimes, so I used to work for Sky Broadband, and sometimes certain internet providers, I'm with Virgin now, but they'll do routine maintenance, or they'll drop something if they have to do anything at like 2-3 in the morning, because it's the time least people are on. And I don't know whether I'm on it now, and I wasn't recording on my own sort of computer or anything, so it was just as soon as it was gone, it was gone, because it's just such a massive file to save, and it's more work for the laptop to record it. Twitch just records it automatically and keeps it there for us, and then I can just convert that over to YouTube, and then it's there for the evidence. But we'll do it again. I will have my day. I will be Batman.
You were a good Batman, and I liked that your camera was kind of positioned lower down, kind of looking up a bit. So you looked a bit like a swollen Batman. I was
getting real in the character, because you can say stuff to people when you're playing a character that, like, how was your stream? And I think, I'm not saying that, it's people there. But when I'm playing asshole Batman, I could just say stuff to people, which I thought was like, it was quite funny, quite freeing. So I did enjoy it, and thank you everyone who jumped in and stuff like that, and did all that. So, and obviously you had random Batman quotes playing every time someone followed and stuff. So yeah, it was cool, but
your failure will come in time.
Yes.
Well, talking of failure, now it's the time for trivia.
Is it better than last week?
No, last week was gold standard.
No, it was... Come on then, theme. I will be the judge. I have high hopes for you, because I do enjoy trivia. I do really enjoy trivia. But last week sucked me off like a dementor.
You're only mad because you didn't do well at it, and some of the answers were pretty bloody obvious. So that's why the reason you got a bee in your bum about it. Anyway,
bee in my bum.
All together now. Da 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 da. Well, how am I supposed to know that?
What's the little stutter for?
You were pondering in that one.
Okay, I was pondering. Can I make a request so you can think during trivia? Can the sign off one have some sort of Batman related quip in?
Yeah, okay. I will think about that.
Percolate.
Okay, so this is trivia. It's my favourite part of the podcast. It's where we find out whether Tom is a true gamer or whether he's one of these posers who thinks that Kane and Lynch is Sunderland's best law firm. Now, we are talking about video game puzzles, more specifically, bullshit video game puzzles. Now, Tom has played a lot of adventure games in his day, so he's all too familiar with the old bullshit puzzle. But I've picked some notoriously hard ones. I'm going to describe it to you, what you have to do, and you have to guess what game it's from.
Are they going to be notoriously hard? Because you told me that in Silent Hill 2, the wax and the piece of string and stuff was a really hard puzzle, and I did it without even blinking.
Wax and horseshoe.
Wax and horseshoe, that's it. But I just I forgot about it because it was that inconsequential to my life, whereas you struggled over it for months.
Well, you'll find this round really easy. Where'd you get months from?
Hyperbole.
Yeah, just, you know, making shit up again as usual. Okay, so ready?
Yes.
Okay, so the first one, you come across a goat that keeps butting you.
Broken sword.
Pardon?
Broken sword.
Well, let me finish it first to give the folks at home a chance.
I'd just like to show off.
A goat keeps butting you as you try to move past it. The solution is you have to let the goat hit you and then immediately put a cart in front of it so it gets all tangled up.
It's not a cart. It's the little tree that it eats hay out of, and you move it onto the rope that's securing it.
So a cart, then?
It's not a cart. It's like a trough. It's more of a trough full of hay. You know that I'm playing Broken Sword at the minute. I've literally just done it.
So, yeah, that's why I put it in, because I thought that'd be quite an
nice, easy start. Oh, you're being nice. Not
well,
forgetful. Because the last few trivia rounds, you just keep forgetting.
You kicked up such a fit last week. I mean, people are going to be like, oh, my God, he was really annoyed about that round.
I was?
No, he's just being pathetic and petty. Right. It's Broken Sword Shadow of the Templars. Now, I'm not too familiar with Broken Sword.
That's the first one.
That's the first one. Yeah. All right.
Okay. And then it's Broken Sword 2. I think we've got numbers of that. 3 is like the serpent's dick or something. And the reason the goat puzzle is hard, because I never found it hard as a kid when I played the game, but I think it's because I played a lot of other adventure games, whereas if a lot of people, I think, first introduction to point and clicks was like Broken Sword with it being a PS1 game, well, a PS1 port. It goes against all the other type of puzzles you do. Broken Sword is a very talky game. You have to like say the right things and ensure the right objects to move on. You use the object on something else, but they're all quite obvious. There's none like sort of really out there. And this is the only real puzzle in the game where it's like movement based and doing something like quickly. There's another one a little bit after it where you've got to get something wet and then get it to another part before it dries out. But that's after. This is the first time where it's like, well, what do I do? Like, you try and you obviously can't talk to a goat. Well, you can, but you're not going to get back. And you try objects on it, that'll work. It's the first one where you got to like go from one of the screen to the other. And I think as a kid, I might have just accidentally did it. You know what I mean? Just clicking around. But yeah,
this one kind of goes down as notoriously difficult. But yeah. I suppose, yeah, if you played adventure games, it wouldn't be the hardest one to try and figure out.
If it's the only time you've played it, there's just nothing else like it in the game. That's why you call people out, I think.
Yeah, okay. So we started off well. Let's carry on. So in this game, you have to arrange Shakespeare plays in the correct order. And it actually requires actual knowledge of Shakespeare's works.
This is a survival horror game, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds a very like Resident Evil, Silent Hill-esque puzzle. Am I on the right lines?
Yes.
Yeah. The Shakespearean puzzle. That sounds too hard for Resi for me. It sounds... Because obviously when you start Silent Hill, it asks whether you want hard puzzles or normal puzzles, isn't it? You can pick which ones you want. So it seems more Silent Hill.
Yeah.
You're going to push me for the game?
You have to pick which one.
Well, I've not come across that in 1 or 2, which is the only ones I've played. So punt at Silent Hill 3.
Well done.
Ah, oh, yeah.
The powers of deduction have worked in your favour. Well done.
I'm Batman. I'm the world's greatest detective, motherfucker.
Okay. So the next one.
I'm enjoying this round. You're back on form, Boxy.
Yeah, because you're getting them right. That's why.
Well, when you make trivia, I have this all the time. You need to put questions in that people get right, or they're going to work the answers out too. And a couple of hard ones. But last week was just utter piss.
Was not. It was. I thought it was.
You love it. I can see on your face. You're fucking fuming that I didn't like it.
Well, only because I put quite a lot of effort into that one. Like with something like this, I can just look it up and it's easy. But with the other one, I had to actually put some use to my fucking useless degree. Anyway,
see where it was a second.
Next one. In order to progress in the level, the game tells you to reset the computer, but it actually means reset the whole console.
X-Men on the Mega Drive.
Well done, yeah.
And it's really hard because, if you don't know, the old Mega Drive has a power button. It also, I never used it. I know you were SNES, but it's got a little hole to put like headphones in, and then it's got a volume control for the headphones. I've never used that to see what it's like. But there's a reset button just to take the game back to the start, but you can't press it down completely. If you press it down completely, it will restart the game. And it doesn't tell you this. You've got to like half press it. So the game restarts, but there's still power going through the cart for like the memory to still be there. And what happens is when the game restarts, the memory realizes you got to that part and loads up the next part of the level. But that is, we're talking early 90s. Like there was no kids. How many kids must have rented that from Blockbusters? And was like, I don't know, because you're actually in front of a computer in the game, aren't you? It's not like you're just randomly anywhere. There's a computer. That reminds me. Do I say this, or are you gonna mention it? I'm gonna say it.
Probably not. No, go on.
It reminds me of Metal Gear Solid.
Oh right, yeah, with port 2.
No, no.
Psycho Mantis.
No.
Oh, on the back of the CD case.
Back of the CD case, yeah.
Yeah.
Merrill's codec number is on. So you meet one of the guys who's about to tell you the codec, which is how you contact other people, the radio frequency, so you can contact Merrill and you need to advance the game. And he goes, oh, I can't remember it. Don't worry, it's on the back of the box. and then he dies, and then you just left. And I must have ran round for months trying to find this all over. And what it actually means is, when you look at the back of the box of the game, there's an image like most boxes have on, but it's of you ringing Meryl, and it's got the frequency in the middle, and you use that to get it. It is genius, but it's that level of puzzle. I think that X-Men one's much harder, just because of the time it came out.
Genius, but kind of cheap at the same time.
Yeah.
That fourth wall breaking. Okay, so your next one. So you need to turn off some laser beams, but the problem is they only turn off at night. So you have to release an owl to convince the guard that it's night time and that he can go home. What a fucking idiot. Get rid of him.
Metal Gear. The original on the, like, NES. Well, I can't remember what system was originally, but the original
you,
Metal Gear.
You are scalding hot.
Metal Gear 2.
Metal Gear 2.
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd get that. Well done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just, it's still completely daylight outside. Obviously, it's 8-bit, isn't it? But it's still completely daylight outside, and you just let an owl go. And you, oh, my shift's finished. He turns his laser off and walks away. I'm sure as well, you don't just get the owl. I'm sure you get an egg, and you've got to hatch it,
yeah.
I'm sure. That is mental. That is crazy, like, who's man. Thinking of that in the NES era? Like, when you're just playing on Mario and Duck Hunt and that type of stuff, and then you have to think about that. Knee chance.
I haven't used this one, but there's also Castlevania Simon's Quest, where you have to kneel down in front of a wall and wait for a tornado to come and pick you up.
Yeah. 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 You know what it is? I honestly think, like, they must have done that. They must have been told by, like, Nintendo, right, we want to sell more copies of Nintendo Power. Put in puzzles and stuff that you just wouldn't do, because there's no way anyone's doing that. No. Like, with to go move on. And Nintendo Power used to, when they used to come out each week, they used to put in guides in there of how to beat all the games. It's a good technique, really. It's an absolute bastard.
But I think it was like longevity as well. They deliberately made NES games insanely hard.
Yeah.
Because people were so used to going into the arcades and having just these short bursts of things. But if you actually bought it, you needed to have a proper long experience. So they just made it fucking difficult.
Yeah. And then obviously you couldn't fit much on the cartridge. So they had to make them, again, hard to... Like, if you sit down, like, even going on to, like, Sonic and stuff now, like, I could finish the first Sonic relatively quickly, like half an hour to an hour or something, probably. But it's because I've learned the levels after so many years, and that's what you used to do. It's just, old games are basically like Souls-likes, aren't they? Where you learn the pattern, you learn what you're doing, you learn what's coming up, and you just keep going until you can beat it. You kids going about Souls-like, we were doing it back in the trenches back in the day.
You don't know you're born.
Exactly.
And your last one.
Ooh, for a full house? I don't know if I've ever got a full house.
No, with you haven't.
No clues.
First. Right. Yeah. You have to guess a gnome's name, but it requires you to reverse the alphabet and spell out his name backwards.
Oh, I've lost the full house. Right, let me have a think. This has got to be a point and click game.
I think so.
Okay, I think so. So it's not a big popular one as well, if you're not sure. Simon the Sorcerer?
No.
Ah, bollocks. Gives a little bit of a clue then. See if I can get...
I think I can give you a clue because I actually don't know much about the game. Sorry. I think it is quite... You'll recognise the name.
Okay. I'm just thinking, trying to think of like point and clicks that I send like... fantasy-esque. That's why I went for Simon the Sorcerer. And there's a member of my community who's been in for a long, long time now, who always asks us to play Simon the Sorcerer. And I've told him, like, at 100k followers, I'll play Simon the Sorcerer. Because originally I just played on console and there was no way to do it. But I think there's a Simon Sorcerer's Origins coming out soon. Are you Googling, looking for a clue for us?
Yeah.
Can you give us an era? That might help.
80s.
So we're talking old, Amiga-esque point and clicks. by the sounds of it, because there's going to be no other games that have puzzles in like that. Simon the Sorcerer. It's not Monkey Island at all. Is it Knights? King's Quest?
King's Quest.
Oh, what number? Well, there's like 400 of them, isn't there?
I think it's the first one.
The first one? Oh, well. Yeah. That was just purely what point-and-click games can I think that, like, you know, medieval, frogs, gnomes, fantasy-based. Mm. So I'm not going to take the full house. I will get a full house one day with no clues. But that round was far better than last week.
Yeah, because you did well in that one. That's the only reason why you like it.
Shh, you give away my secrets. Right, have you thought of a Batman-esque ending for your tune?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay, go on then.
So we'll close out trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Da, 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 da. Where's the trigger? My.
Come on, I want to hear the second line. I want to hear the second line. Pull it together. Pull it together.
I got a little bit excited there.
I did a video. Go on.
My speed run. Rachel.
I did a video promoting the live with the mask on, doing, and basically just talking about what I was doing, but in between each cut, just put me doing like a Batman phrase, like, Rachel, like, where is she? Just like randomly popping up throughout. And the last one I did, I've got the Xbox controller in my hand, and I'm going, where's the trigger? And that just cracked. You know what it is? Do you ever do stuff in your videos where you think, I don't care what this video does well, I've done this to crack me up?
Right, okay.
That just cracked me up. That's the story.
I've got a better one.
Go on then.
Let me finish this playthrough, and then you have my permission to die.
that's the old Bane line, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. See, because I made another video after it, because I think I was going delirious by about midnight, because I was trying to keep myself awake. I was eating Charleston Chews and Whoppers, just because they had American sweets in the shop next to me. Anyway, I was going, and this video hasn't done very well at all, but I've watched it about 400 times. So if it's got 400 views, it's just me listening to it. But it was just in the middle of it. Someone in the chat just went, it was talking about being colourblind. And I was just playing, and they were like chatting with each other. And I just went, well, if you're colourblind, how many fingers am I holding up? And I stick my fingers up at them, just wait a bit and just go, pink. And I don't think anyone appreciates it, but if you ask my missus, I sat when I was editing that laughing my tits off, and I don't care whether anyone else likes it.
We've all got to find ourselves funny.
We have indeed. And talking about finding ourselves funny, finding ourselves creative, this week's feature, what we're going to do is we're going to design our own video games. So me and Boxy are going to talk about what games, if we were in charge, we had that pot of money, what games we would make. Boxy, I will allow you. Do you want me to go first? Because you've done quite a bit of talking.
Yeah, go for it. You go first.
Okay. So, let me talk through it, and then you can ask me questions to nitpick deeper. So, my game is going to be an RPG point-and-click hybrid.
I hate it already.
It's going to have the comedy stylings of like A Naked Gun, An Airplane, Hot Shots, Thank Goodness You're Here, that type of humour I want in it. It's going to be set in a Blade Runner-esque world, an atmosphere, sort of near future type of thing, but with a noir theme and narrative. Because I think that works well with the comedy of like Naked Gun Airplane. You know those games, like Naked Gun has that the inner monologue of Leslie Nielsen all the way through.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the noir like theme in that obviously easily lends into that, and then you can have those funny lines and stuff there. But so you've got your areas where you do your sort of point and click things. But the sort of the RPG battle elements and stuff like that take part sort of between those locations. So when you're traveling around, it's big up. When you go to places, you don't just like click on a map like you wouldn't have point and click, but you get there. And then when you get to the locations, it's like it's a modern point and click game, so you unlike to have battles and stuff like that. You might do, I don't know. the battle system and stuff, I would have like Expedition 33 with your dodge and your parry, and it's, you've not played it, it does it so well, but I didn't think all out action and point and click would be good together. So a turn based action one that Silencu's dodging and parrying and that type of thing, I thought worked well because you can strategize, which is, you know, like what are point and click games there. And when you level up, you don't just level up, oh, I'm stronger. You level up a little bit more like D&D type of things, but not too complicated, not like Baldur's Gate 3. But you might have, like, you know, your standard, your charisma, strength, stealth, or whatever, you've got those. And how you level those up, okay, changes how you can complete the puzzles and how you can do them in different ways. So, say, in a point-and-click game, you get to a certain thing, you've got to say something to a certain person to, like, do the story forward. You can only do that if you've leveled up your charisma. If you haven't done that, you have to do it another way, or you have to break into somewhere. You have to, like, if you ingenuity, you can put two items together and get through. If you strength, you can find a piece of the wall that's sort of soft to take down. If you're charisma, you can talk your way through. And I just, when I was very tired when I was doing this, but I started to get excited about it. I have no storyline at all.
Well, that was going to be my first question.
I don't know what the story would be. I'm going to let smarter people than me think about that in the comments. What story would go along with that absolutely fire game? Because that would be a great game. Unique. Thinker. I mean,
you say unique, but it's not really.
Okay, then tell me a game that's like it.
Well, you know, any JRPG, I mean, I suppose the only thing which you've got original is the skill-based thing of how the puzzles would change.
So I've got something unique. So, wait a minute, when we get to your game, is every single thing going to be unique, never seen before in a video game?
I don't know. I can't say for Steam, because I don't know what the hell's on Steam. But I don't think mainstream-wise there's anything out there like what I've got.
I call bullshit. There's too many games out now. You can't be... And this is how you... Like, Expedition 33 is amazing, but everyone says it's the next evolution of turn-based combat. There are elements of Final Fantasy IX, lots of different turn-based, and it's put them together in a melding pot and made something new. That's what you... You can't make something completely new these days.
No.
And there's nothing like that in the world. So don't say it's not original.
But hang on, mate. You said it's impossible to not make anything that's original, and then you just said there's nothing like that in the world.
No, completely original.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean? There's nothing that exists out there like that, but it has a bit of this, a bit of that. You know, like when you do your videos making a game and your cookery, and you're putting all the elements of different games, there's not one game you couldn't do that for.
No, that's true. I was thinking of doing another one of those fairly soon.
So back up, bitch.
Pardon?
I said back up, bitch.
No, just... it sounds interesting. Your little Frankenstein approach of stitching bits and pieces together. It's there'll be a market for it, I'm sure.
Well, it's a little bit like L.A. Noire as well, isn't it? In a way. But more, you know, less... You love the wankrists, don't you? Let's just pick up an object and whack. Because there's no real point and click in those parts. But I imagine the areas being like quite a bit bigger. And you're sort of doing that. Like there's little things like Monkey Island 3 has your sort of... what do you call it? Your insult sword fighting and stuff like that. Like there's other games trying to bring a bit action in. I just think my game will be fucking fantastic.
What's your name for it?
Freddy Got Funky.
Not Tom Got Fingered.
No. I have no idea. I've got no narrative ever. So
well, no, you haven't.
No, there's no way to sort of call it.
Well, if anyone wants to join Tom on this project to write him a story around this foundation that he's got,
we'll go. We'll go 90-10 to me.
You're going to be like Steve Jobs, like, you know, got all the ideas but does fuck all.
Yeah, that's, I'm an idea man. Just come. Do this. Come on, then let's hear your genius idea. Then you got all the criticism.
So my one, I did speak about the idea, I think, in season one, and essentially it's a game around the skill of selling, because I think that is something
Is it estate agent simulator?
Well, I started with that, but I think you could make more of a story out of it. So I think as a mechanic, like the skill of selling is something that games haven't really tapped into, and I think they could do a lot with it. I think there's a lot of potential there. So
Estate Agent Simulator online game from Windows, by Kiki Games.
Right. Before you shit on my idea, can I just pitch this first?
I'm just saying, you said my idea wasn't original and your game exists.
Yeah, but I haven't told you how it works yet.
Okay, go on then.
Okay, so the story, because I've thought of the story, unlike some people on this podcast.
So you stole the whole mechanics but came up with a story, whereas I just didn't come up with a story but came up with new mechanics.
The mechanics as well. The mechanics are important
then.
In this.
Come on.
Will you stop interrupting me?
You angered me. I really liked my game, my idea.
I said I liked it.
Oh, come on.
Right. So you start off as a low-tier salesman, so you join an estate agency. So as a salesman, you have to match properties to people who have characteristics that match the property. So there is going to be deduction and puzzle solving bringing into there. So you're going to have like your list of houses, which all have various qualities, and then you've got a big list of people who have personalities, likes, dislikes, and then you have to match them to where you think it would be best suited. So that's like the first stage of it, puzzle solving.
Just have a look in the chat.
What?
Just have a look in the chat.
Estate agent simulator. Right, okay. Well, I'm not looking at that just yet.
Your game exists.
Yeah, but I haven't finished yet. This is why you should stop fucking interrupting me.
Go on then.
I've lasted
game
so many episodes without having a go at you for interrupting me. And this is the straw that broke my fucking back.
I'm just going to research. While you're telling me your lovely idea, I'm just going to research the mechanics of a estate agent simulator.
Right.
Okay?
Can you let me finish? Mm-hmm, there are multiple stages to this. So you have the initial puzzle solving, right? You then have to go to houses, and that's when it turns into like a third person sort of mode where you have to make sure the house is presentable. So you have to make sure it's clean and tidy. And if there are characteristics that the people like, you have to make sure that it's included in those. So I don't know, like bright colors, make sure more windows are open or fresh air, just things like that. And then when you show people round, you then enter a kind of negotiation stage where it's like, LA Noir, why are you fucking laughing so much?
So, no, I just want to see someone going to buy your house. And they're like, well, what do you want? Are the windows open?
Well, it's more to it. It's deeper than that. But let me finish. And then when you get to the talking, negotiating part, then it turns into something like LA Noir, where you look at body language and you look at the language that they're using and you try and respond in the best possible way. Because selling is all about picking up on cues and leading them to a close. So there is like skill in there, and you can mess it up by saying the wrong thing. So I think you can combine kind of prior research with puzzle solving with negotiating techniques. And then, as the general story goes, the more you sell, the more money you have, you get promoted, and then you move up to like another job where you're a salesman. So you might go to like stock market, you might go to business negotiator or something like that. And there's like a narrative there of moving up tiers. And
so like
as you go along, pardon?
like Spore.
Right, yeah.
You know, in Spore, you start off, like, every single section is a different bit. Like, it's not like, oh, it's houses all the time. Then is there different mechanics for, like, the stock market?
Yeah, well, I haven't thought that bit out yet. Okay. But yeah, there would be. But I like the idea of puzzle solving mixed in with negotiation, language, skill checks, and stuff like that. I think that would be a really nice idea. But it's almost like you have a bar at the bottom saying how close you are to getting a sale, and every mistake you make, it goes back down one.
What happens if you don't sell?
Well, then you've lost the client. Then you have to.
So you redo it?
You can redo it, but you'd have to start from the beginning again.
So it's not like, oh, they walk away, now you've got someone else comes and you're still trying to sell the same house.
Yeah, but it's like matching the right house to
what
the right
people.
What
happens if they want the windows closed?
Why are you so hung up on that?
It's just because you're like...
When I was in
the biggest purchase of your life, you're buying something. And well, what do you want with a house? Two beds? A big garden, a garage. Could you have the windows open, please? They leak fresh air.
I'll tell you this now. People know that they want to buy a house within 5 seconds of walking into it.
Because the windows are open?
You know what? If you make a good presentation and a good ambiance, that sometimes can be all it takes.
Tell me about your life as an estate agent. Were you a wheeler and dealer?
No. I was a very mild estate agent for what it was.
Do you want to buy this house? No. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that is what it's all about. Do you want to buy this? No, I don't. Fine. I'm going to find you something else. I'm not going to tell you that you need to buy something.
So are you doing anything with these houses? Or is it like, do you know Papers, Please?
Yeah, it's like that.
And it comes up and like, oh, this is what they're like. And then you find the house. You don't make the house.
No, you don't make it. You've got a big list of houses that you have in your stock.
Wait,
you've
though,
got a big list
wait,
of clients.
Can you go in and open the windows?
You've made this a thing, and there's no need for it to be. Tell you what, in wintertime, opening the windows that have had the heating on, right, makes it very stuffy.
The fuck I saw this house? The windows don't open! Bastards!
Bad vibes when you walk in. You just don't understand this art that it is.
I do understand. I understand that a while ago on this podcast, we made worlds that we could make anything we could choose from anywhere in game and history. Fantastical, amazing places. And you made a Jet 2, a family of three, goes for, that's £200 off. You made a Jet 2 all-inclusive holiday. And now when you can make any game you want, you became an estate agent.
Well,
I can't believe you shit all over my game.
I didn't shit over your
game.
You
don't have a narrative. You have progression. You don't have a narrative.
You haven't got a narrative.
I know, but I admitted that. You were like, well, I've thought a narrative. You haven't got a narrative.
Yes, I have. You are someone who is trying to make their way in the world.
That's progress. That's not a narrative.
Yeah, but you can...
It's like saying FIFA's got a narrative because you progress to win the World Cup. No, it's not. It's progress.
There is more... Like L.A. Noir. Like, L.A. Noir is essentially that structure. It's you're working your way up the police force.
But if I said to you, what's the plot of L.A. Noir, you would not say to advance through the ranks in the police station. You tell me about...
Actually.
No, you... Well, then that would be... That's why you got a third in English literature, then? Because it's a story about someone coming back from America. He's a philanderer. He works his way up. He finds out about corruption in the police force and he gets him knocked back down to the start and blah, 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 blah. That's the plot, not the progression. You haven't got narrative
at all. It would be like the Wolf of Wall Street thing. Someone who starts off innocent and then he gets slowly corrupted
by the power of
money.
I used to be a good boy, but then I found out I can open windows, and now I just do 7 lines of cocaine a day.
Is this podcast nearly over? Can I go and do something more useful?
Oh, you entertain me, Boxy, so much. That's made my day.
I don't care what you say. That is a good structure for a game.
You could make any game, anything.
You know what? I'm a meat and potatoes man at heart. I just like some like some core realism that we're all familiar with. Papers, Please is one of my favorite games because, and it's grounded in the most boring thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Paperwork. Yeah. But there's context and there's story behind it. And I think as a mechanic...
Do you do the paperwork in your... What's the name of your game then?
No chain involved.
But you said it wasn't just houses?
Yeah, but, you know, you can start that off. And I think...
I haven't
thought about that. No.
Did you just think of the title there or had you got it?
No, I just thought about it there.
Yeah.
That's a good title, though, don't you think?
For estate agent simulator, it would, but you said it wasn't. You said it was all about the sales and moving up. You changed from estate agent simulator when I shit all over it and showed you in the chat that there's already a game.
Okay, I got a better one. Closer. The Closer.
That's a good name. That's a good name.
Always be closing.
Always ABC. Be closing. Every day I'm closing shit. No. Okay.
Particularly the windows.
Right. In the comments, please just go to town on Boxy's. Here's the challenge, right? In the comments, can you come up with a game more boring than Boxy's when you have the freedom to make a game about anything in the world, anything, use any mechanics, any world, any narrative? Can you come up with something more boring than a estate agent simulator?
Excuse me, Return of the Obra Dinn as well. You play as a insurance
I've got the platinum on that.
Insurance investigator. Boring.
It's not about insurance investigation, though, is it? It's a puzzle game finding out who all the crew are and how they died. Yeah. Yes, it's veiled around he's an insurance whatever.
Thank you.
But that's no like take on it. The whole part, I forgot he was an insurance, whatever dude that he is, cunt, until you said he was an insurance guy. You could have been a detective, and it would have been exactly the same game.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that's a good game, and that's all based around puzzle solving and deduction.
It's really cool, yeah. But that's nothing like yours. That's like you're sort of working out, you're finding little bits of lore, who's that, you find out about them, like sort of, oh, he was married, so, oh, he's got a ring on his finger, blah, blah. Yours is, can you open the windows so this guy buys this house?
I'm not even going to try and just defend this, because you're just not going to listen. But can I just say that there is a huge market for boring simulator games. Like
so you admit
simulator.
It's a boring simulator. So you could make any game you wanted to, and you decide to make a boring simulator game.
No, I'm just talking to your language. I'm talking to your dumb level right now.
Speak of my language.
Yeah. Right, what's next?
Rockbusters, your favourite part. And I can guarantee you were so cocksure last week, you haven't got it. So Rockbusters is the best part of the show because we get to prove the Boxy's thick. So, Boxy, last week's Rockbuster was, the Germans said hello, and then that's it. And you were so confident at the end of the show that you've got it, so come on, wow us.
Well, it's Halo.
No.
It's not Halo.
No.
Well, Halo, is it Halo something?
Might be, but it's not Halo.
No, you can't say, oh, it might be.
But well, I can, because in a quiz, do you go, is it one of the Terminator films? And he goes, yes! And then you write down Terminator something. He'd say, fuck off, work it out.
I looked at the list of Halo games. Okay. And
I'll give you three guesses, because there's 700 games.
What's the clue? And then that's it.
And that's it? And that's it?
Halo, and then it's End.
And
Halo
then that's
End.
It?
Halo Infinite?
Nope. There's Halo... one guess.
God, let me look at the list.
I'd be very impressed if anyone got this.
If I have got this?
No, if like anyone gets this. I'd be impressed.
Why?
What?
I mean, it is Halo though, right?
I said you can have three Halo guesses. That's all I'm saying.
Because it's not Halo.
I'm just saying. See, this is cheating. You've got to do it off the head. And see that you're Googling Halo games. You said Halo, Halo Infinite.
Halo Wars?
Yeah.
Wars?
Yeah.
Why Wars?
Because in German, Wars means that's it. Type in that's it in German, Google. In German, Wars means that's it. That's not fair. That was just a guess. You didn't get it because you said Halo Infinite.
Yeah, you said I had three guesses.
I know, because I didn't think you'd go for Halo Wars. Look, watch, I'll do the old German to English. I'm sure she'll come up on the recording. German to English. Right, get off. I don't want to speak Pashto. What's Pashto?
Was.
Was.
That's it. Was. That's it.
So, hallo, was?
Okay. Well, so, I'm glad I got it, just by sheer luck.
That's a good one. I mean, they are coming to the point now where the Rockbusters are getting to an area where you need to have a basic understanding of German in order to guess them. But, you know, we've got to evolve somehow. So here's the next one for you. You ready?
All ears.
You ready? Musical instruments digital interface just joined the Third Reich.
Right, that was too quick and weird for me. What again?
The musical instruments digital interface just joined the Third Reich. It's a good rockbuster when the Third Reich's involved.
Yeah, I didn't realise there was a game that ends in Nazi.
Got any ideas initially?
No, this one's too weird for me. Musical instruments interface.
Just joined the Third Reich.
I mean, the only word I can think of is that word.
Let's just say it. That word is not in it.
Okay.
That word is not in it. I'm not giving clues. You always taught me in this. I'm not giving clues. People work it out. I'll give you the clues next week if you don't have it.
Okay.
We went over an hour, so let's end this stuff. It might be over an hour because I might have edited loads of your shite out, but we've been sitting here an hour. So on that musical instruments digital interface joining the Third Reich, lovely bombshell. Thank you very much for tuning in, and please drop us a review or I'll shout at you again. Bye.
Bye.